The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is, and welcome back. This Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Welcome back for our next installment of a three-hour tour. There's a lot of breaking news today, and I'm going to dispense with my monologue to go to a great newsmaker, a great man, a great representative, the chairman, incoming chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and the representative from Arizona's fighting 5th Congressional District, Andy Biggs. Congressman Biggs, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me on, Seth. Always good to be with you.
Always good to have you. Always good to see what you're up to. And you have been up to a lot. You had started about a week ago a motion. You initiated a motion to condemn and censure Congressman and House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff. I believe, if my count is right, you are now closing in on 100 co-sponsors of that resolution, if that's the right word for it. Tell us about the impetus for this motion and what happens next.
Okay, yeah, you're right. We're just under 100. It's close of business. Business just closed there about 5 minutes ago in D.C., and so we might get more tonight. I mean, every night I get more tweets, more conversation with my colleagues. So I hope we'll have over 100. But what happens, the impetus for this, of course, is not just one event, but a multitude of events with Chairman Schiff, where he has basically misled the American public repeatedly. He is a bombastic and outspoken critic of President Trump. And has promised evidence and has, quite frankly, he has said we're going to have a vote on impeachment. And we're not talking about the inquiry itself. We're talking about actual impeachment. And this is before they've opened a formal impeachment inquiry. So he's got everything's best backwards here. And so that's really the way this is going with Adam Schiff. And then the culmination and what pushed so many of us over the edge is when he deliberately misled the American public by acting like he was reading the transcript of the phone conversation, and he just made it up whole cloth with no evidence, and which indicates an incredible bias and lack of gravitas. And then he later followed that up by saying, well, that was just parody. In other words, it was comedic, meant to be comedic. Well, that means one of the most important things, even Nancy Pelosi has said this is one of the most somber things that you do in Congress. It is one of the most important things besides declaring war that Congress will consider. And he's up there basically doing a comedic or late night comedic routine. And that just really pushed us over. And of course, since I filed the resolution, we've gotten all these sponsors. In the meantime, he starts holding closed door hearings and won't release them. In fact, he cherry picks. You have something like 67 emails from Ambassador Volker regarding these issues. Can he cherry picks two or three, releases them, takes them out of context to try to show that they support his position? And that's just outrageous misconduct. It's an abuse of power. And he, not only should we censure him, but Speaker Pelosi should remove him from chairmanship and certainly from the any talk about impeachment.
Congressman Biggs, that's a lot there, and I'm so glad you focused on the parody thing, because I looked at it in that order, too. I thought parody and then invention of the transcript. I was shocked that he would excuse his behavior by calling it a parody, which is a synonym for a joke, right?
Right.
All this talk about we are stopping the shredding of the Constitution, if you will. We are stopping a clear and present danger to the United States by undertaking this impeachment inquiry. And he said that this was nothing more than a joke. That was one thing. I thought the other thing that was really interesting about it is at no time was he going to let in or let in to the American people that this was an invented transcript he was reading until he was called out on it, right? Until another member said, wait a minute. He was going to let that stand as if that was the transcript of what the president said, inventing out of whole cloth a conversation that didn't exist. I really don't have words for that kind of behavior. You have put words to it, deserving of censure. So the censure option or the censure, what would you call it, path, what, requires a majority? It doesn't require a supermajority, does it? Just a majority vote of the House? No. Is that correct?
It requires a majority vote of the House.
Right.
And remember that there are more Democrats
sure.
than Republicans.
Sure.
But I'm hoping that there's some fair-minded people of goodwill who will support this.
One would hope. And, of course, it has the effect of an official condemnation. It doesn't remove him from office. It doesn't serve as any kind of taking him away from his committees. That's, as you put it, the Speaker's job. But you know what, Andy? It dawns on me. If people see this as nothing but a partisan play on your part and the, what do you have, 94, 95 co-sponsors at this point, if people see it as nothing more than a partisan effort, hold the head high on this, because that's nothing more than what the impeachment effort at this point is, as far as I can tell. I don't see any. Am I wrong? Do I have Republicans in the House caucus that are supportive of the impeachment inquiry right now? I don't think so.
No, you don't. It's split along party lines.
Right.
And I would just tell you that there are people in the Democrats, many are my friends, and we talk
sure.
and chit-chat, and they're concerned about the impeachment, this move to impeach
right.
For a lot of reasons. Right. But not the least of which is they're concerned about what it does to them in their midterm elections, because you have a substantial number of, I can't remember what the exact number is, but something like 31 of them were elected from districts that Donald Trump won. And so that puts them in play, and they don't want to be in play. They would. It's tough enough for them to win because Trump already won them, and now they're going to have to take a position. But the bottom line is, this is not an impeachment inquiry. This is not a House oversight issue, because if it was an official impeachment inquiry, we would already have the vote on the floor to open it up. We would have set up rules where the Republicans could participate by subpoenaing witnesses, where the president could have counsel available, as you had with Nixon and Clinton. I mean, that's de rigueur. It is the precedent that we use. And then it's not a House Oversight Committee, because there's nothing for them to oversee. There's nothing within the committee of jurisdiction for them to oversee. So what you have is you have a committee with the sanction of the Speaker of the House, where the chairman is rooting around dirt. He said he wants to impeach. He's already said we're going to vote to impeach, and he's looking for something now to give the justification for the impeachment that he longs for and so many on the left long for.
You know, I think as I'm looking at this, this might be the day the worm turned on the Democrats. Because not only is your censure motion picking up so many more votes, more steam, more attention, I see it's getting a lot of media attraction, as it should, Congressman Biggs, but we're getting reports now that not only is the U.S. Attorney Durham's report going to be very damning, so too the impending Inspector General report, Michael Horowitz's report, should be coming out at the end of the month. It's not going to look good for the Democrats. It's not going to look good for the origination of the Russia investigation, on top of which you have just now released Pat Cipollone's White House counsel's letter to the impeachment leaders in the House, which is a very strong letter. I'm encouraging everyone to put it out themselves on Twitter, because I don't think NBC and MSNBC and Washington Post and CNN will put up links to it. I think at a certain point, the American people are going to say, can't we just vote in 12 months? Can't we just have our say?
Well, yeah, I think what they should be saying is, we had our say.
Yeah.
You never liked it.
Right.
And really, don't never forget this. The campaign of the left was of four deplorables, right?
Right?
Never forget this. And so it isn't just that they want to attack President Trump, because they really don't like Trump. They don't try to like him personally. But it's like they don't like the Americans who voted for President
Trump. That's exactly
Trump.
That's right. It's impeaching Trump voters, as Bill McGurn put it, right? That's what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why you have Maxine Waters saying a year ago, and my censure motion was basically quashed by then-Speaker Paul Ryan, but for Maxine Waters. But Maxine Waters was calling out people, saying, you know, harass them physically, verbally.
You bet. Open season on Republicans.
Trump.
Open season.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is inexcusable. And now she is, I mean, this is why I say this often, Seth, there is an authoritarian bent to the left the socialist left in America, and any socialist,
of course,
type of mentality.
Of course, it is part of the baked cake. You bet.
Exactly, because you have to enforce it with the mighty awesome power of the government, because people don't want to have their wealth redistributed. They want privacy. They want to live their lives. But what happens here is Maxine Waters last week said, you know what, we need to arrest President Trump and hold him in solitary confinement. Yeah. You have others.
You have candidates for president on the Democratic Party saying he should be not censured but censored on social media.
Exactly. Yeah, they want to censor him. Right. They want to lock him up. Right. But they also, Tlaib said we need to arrest members of his cabinet.
Sure. They think they can play this as if it's a junta, because that is their model, socialist juntas.
Yes.
That is their model. Andy
exactly
Beach,
right.
You do so much for us. I want you to take this thought very seriously. Think of anything we, listeners, we can do for you. We just love what you're doing. We support you all the way, and you do so much. If we can do anything for you, please let us know.
Thanks, Seth. Sure appreciate being with you.
God bless you, Andy Biggs, and Godspeed. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. The way we were. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I am Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. Let me put in a good word for my good friends at Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating. They have watchwords at Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating. They are quality service, great warranties, and installations done right. Right now, they have a great offer for Patriot listeners. They will replace your current unit with a 14C or total comfort system at a never done before 25% off. They'll also throw in a Wi-Fi smart thermostat, a free duct cleaning, and 10-year parts warranty, along with a 1-year maintenance warranty to prevent any breakdowns, and no interest payments for an entire year for 12 months. At Cool Touch, it's upfront pricing, no games, and no guessing. It's a company I use. It's a company I recommend. It's a company my friends use, and they thank me for recommending it to them. They're open 7 days a week, and they also do plumbing. At Cool Touch, you can rest assured you are supporting a company that will support you and your values. Their phone number, 602-923-9600. That's 602-923-9600, or go online and visit them at cooltouch.us and let them know I sent you. Folks, as I said in my interview with Andy Biggs in the last segment, I think this might be a day that the worm turned on impeachment for the Democrats. The White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, wrote a 8-page letter to the House impeachment Democratic leadership, that is to say Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Elijah Cummings, who's the chairman of House Oversight, and Elliot Engel, chairman of House Foreign Affairs Committee, on the White House's view of what they are doing. I don't think the major news media sources are going to print a link or post a link to this letter. It is a damning letter, in the sense of it is a great letter. Fox News has it, and they've put a link up to it. I'm encouraging everyone to put a link up to it on their Twitter feeds or any other social media access they have, because the mainstream media won't. If you need quick access to it, you can get it at my Twitter feed, at Seth Leibson. I've posted it. The letter says, you have denied the president. I'm going to read the whole thing. You have denied the president the right to cross-examine witnesses, to call witnesses, to receive transcripts of testimony, to have access to evidence, to have counsel present, and many other basic rights guaranteed to all Americans. Before I continue, I want to point something out here. For all that you hear from the mainstream media and commentariat about the White House stonewalling, the White House delaying, the White House forbidding testimony of, please understand this is what is behind it. This is what is behind it. And what is behind it is an absence of, I think, the one fundamental thing, regardless of politics, that beats in the breast of every American heart. Fundamental fairness. Fundamental fairness. We have been told again and again by the left that the president is not above the law. True enough, but he's not below the law either. And that's what this letter sets out. It is crucial reading. Again, say what you want, media. say what you want, left. Say what you want, commentary about the president not complying with requests from the House. Why isn't he? Because, again, to repeat, the House has denied the president the right to cross-examine witnesses, to call witnesses, to receive transcripts of testimony, to have access to evidence, to have counsel present, and many other basic rights guaranteed to all Americans. This is why I say the president is not below the law. The letter goes on. You have conducted your proceedings in secret. You have violated civil liberties and the separation of powers by threatening executive branch officials, claiming that you will seek to punish those who exercise fundamental constitutional rights and prerogatives. All of this violates the Constitution, the rule of law, and every past precedent. Never before in our history has the House of Representatives, under the control of either party, taken the American people down the dangerous path you seem determined to pursue. Put simply, you seek to overturn the results of the 2016 election and deprive the American people of the president they have freely chosen. Who's the anti-democratic small d party now? Who's the party that is violating the law now? Who's the party that is shredding the Constitution now? You know, the American people, I'll get back to the letter in a moment. The American people, I think, are going to have a hard time supporting an impeachment or an impeachment process that is so fundamentally different than any other impeachment in the history of the country, of which there are three examples, two in the last century, two in our lifetime, Nixon and Clinton, the other one, Andrew Johnson. I don't think the American people are going to say, why should the House of Representatives, in an exclusively partisan effort, in an exclusively one-party effort, get a second say of the 2016 presidential election when we're all going to have our say, or should have our say, in 13 months? There is going to be an election in 13 months. Who now is interfering with free and fair elections? What party is interfering with free and fair elections? What party is trying to overturn the 2016 election in order to affect the 2020 election? There will be a few breakings of ranks in the House of Representatives if this comes to a full vote. There will be a few breakings of ranks. My prediction is this, that there will be no Republicans who support the impeachment inquiry if it comes to a full vote in the House. There will not be one Republican. There will be, by breakings of ranks, I mean, a few Democrats that will. Maybe 10, maybe 5, maybe 15. We're told there are close to 30 who are in these swing districts or districts that voted for Trump but put a Democrat in the House. And we're told not all of those are firmly in that camp. Not all of those candidates are or those representatives are too worried about that. But some will be. No doubt some will be. And no doubt some will have a sense of fundamental fairness. Some will. So if there is bipartisanship to be found here at all, my prediction is it will be there will be a bipartisan consensus of some form or another against impeachment. The consensus for impeachment will be exclusively one-sided, exclusively made up of all D's and no R's. That is what Nancy Pelosi is afraid of in calling for a full vote on an impeachment inquiry. And that is what I think the Democrats are afraid of in giving fundamental fairness to the president of the United States in this impeachment effort. And that, I think, is what will be the undoing of the Democrats in 2020. Again, and I can't say it enough, there are normal democratic processes in America. Impeachment is an extraordinary process. Again, in the history of our republic, it really only happened twice. We say three times because we include Nixon, but Nixon was never actually impeached by the House. He resigned before that vote took place. It's that rare. It's that unusual. You know what's not unusual and what isn't rare and what shouldn't be suspended in times of normalcy or any other times for that matter? A normal election. A normal election, which if the Democrats would just give us 13 months, we will have. I'm Seth. We'll be right back. Little Herb Alpert for you this Tuesday, October 8th, as we go into our culture and economy segment with John Dombrowski, he of Grand Canyon Planning. His website, Grand Canyon Planning. estateplanning.com. Happy Tuesday to you, John.
Hey, Seth, happy Tuesday. I want to ask a question.
You got it.
Because are there three people on the other side of the wall right now that I'm talking to?
At least three.
Well, right, because do I have to ask, like, questions? You know, the dating. Wasn't that from the dating
game? The dating game, you bet. Good work, John.
Oh, my gosh.
Good work.
Come on.
Is that how you met the fetching Mrs. Dombrowski?
No, but that would have been fun.
I don't know anyone who met on a game show. I really don't. Yeah. It would be a good study to see if anyone who did meet their ultimate spouse on a game show, if they're still together.
I think that's like today with all those television shows, you know, where they're putting the dating stuff.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite show you watch these days? Anything? Networks?
I listen to something called The Seth Leibson Show.
Well,
that's my favorite show.
Okay, very nice.
I put a shout out there to Danny and Nancy? Just a shout out to Danny and Nancy.
You want me to help?
Yeah, they love you.
Danny and Nancy, we love you, too.
All right, great.
Thank you, John. Hey, John, we usually focus on folks who are thinking about retirement, thinking about long-term planning, but there was this interesting story that caught my eye today that I sent your way about millennials taking some of this a little bit more seriously. It has an interesting possible adverse effect, but it looks like millennials are now saving their money in record or higher numbers than they used to be.
Yeah, and this is an interesting study, too, because you wouldn't think that this would be the case. Mm-hmm. But as this particular report is stating here, that millennials, yes, there's been a substantial increase in the savings rate. And they're talking from 5.7% in 1996 to 8.1% in 2019. That is a big difference. And they're attributing this to the recent financial crisis that we had back in 2008, 2007 and 2008. And they're basically saying that this is causing those individuals now to really think about investing and risking their money. What's interesting to me, Seth, they're also stating in this that they're learning from the mistakes that their parents made. How many kids do you know that learn from the mistakes or listen to their parents?
No kidding. But maybe as a form of protest, right? We all want to do whatever our parents didn't do. Maybe it's their form of protest. Oh, you didn't save for a rainy day?
Yeah.
I'm going to save for a rainy day.
I'm doing it just because you didn't.
Right.
That's funny.
That is not an insignificant number percentage-wise of savings, bordering on 10%, almost 10% putting into savings. You would not think that people start earning money, they want to start spending money, but millennials are doing this.
And so now the twist to this, though, Seth, is going to be, okay, what are they doing with the money, right? So are they actually investing it, or are they just putting it in the bank? Which, either way, they're saving, and that's a good thing, right? Because if we did have another financial crisis or a money crunch, boy, having a little extra savings in the bank is not a bad thing, rather than having excess debt, as we saw in the last financial crisis.
Which begs the question for you as a financial advisor, John, because they ask this question of millennials. If you were given $1,000 extra in cash, would you pay off debt with it or save it?
Yeah.
And what do you recommend?
Right. Well, I mean, and this study, of course, said only 6% said that they would put it towards travel or shopping.
That they would spend it. Right.
Right. Which is, again, very good. Right. So the debt has seems to be something that's in the forethought of a lot of the younger generation today. And I think that's important. That is a good thing, because we did see that debt was one of the major reasons that we had the last financial downturn. So if we can be a little bit more fiscally responsible, maybe the federal government can look at us as Americans and maybe they can learn something from their constituents.
I like that.
You know, unfortunately, they haven't to this
point. Not yet. No.
But
hope springs.
But maybe they could.
Yes. Hope springs eternal.
Hey, we also had yesterday a little bit of a conversation regarding leasing versus purchasing cars.
Right.
And someone also asked me about if I lease or purchase or versus if I were to buy a car, should I financing or pay cash for it? You know, the interesting thing is today, the financing on some of these vehicles is so low, the percentage of interest rate. If you've got an account that's earning 4%, 5%, 6% from an investment, would you want to take that money, buy a car, and have a depreciating asset rather than an appreciating asset? Maybe when you can get 0.9% financing or 1.9% financing. That's certainly something to consider before you just arbitrarily make that choice.
Uh-huh.
Think about that a little bit more, because it may make sense, believe it or not, to borrow money in that particular case. Nice. Not always.
Nice.
But certainly something to think about.
Nice.
All right, Seth.
Thanks, John Dombrowski.
You bet. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, you bet.
Securities and Advisory Services, offered through Client One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grant King and Plenty Associates LLC, and Client One Securities LLC are not affiliated.
Do you know what the name of that Herb Alpert song is? Spanish Flea.
The Spanish Flea. Yeah. I was going to say Spanish Eyes, but Spanish Flea. That's a different song, Spanish
Eyes.
That's
a different thing.
Yeah.
That's a whole other game.
That's a whole another game show.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
God bless. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. If you're feeling run down and don't have the energy that you used to, it's probably because you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. I've started my commitment to Balance of Nature, and I am following the footsteps of my friend and radio colleague, Sebastian Gorka, who's been with Balance of Nature for months now. And Seb can tell some of us what he's found with Balance of Nature.
Seth, one of the best things about Balance of Nature is you get a personal health coach. Now, this applies very much to me because I like stuff for free. And this is free for all Balance of Nature customers. And if you're like me, I need to be told what to do. Your personal health coach is going to guide you through every step of your personal wellness journey.
Thank you, Sebastian. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gets you their best pricing and free shipping. And they'll take off an additional $25 from your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE. I should like to return to the letter the White House counsel has sent to the impeachment Democrat leadership. Again, I would like to also remind and ask all of you who have a social media account to repost the link of it, because I don't think the mainstream media, and thus far they have not, will be sharing the link of the entire letter rather than their summary and spin on it. If you need it, you can go to my Twitter feed, at Seth Leibson, to find it. It's my most recent post. Just please do replicate it. I will read parts of it as time allows, because I think it is a crucially important document that will spell the beginning of the changing of the wind on this impeachment. Got an inquiry from a listener who said, don't I think Andy Biggs is wasting his time on a censure resolution of Adam Schiff, knowing that it doesn't have a chance of getting a majority in the House of Representatives? Why not ask the House Democrats if they're not wasting their time on an impeachment that doesn't have a chance of getting any Republican votes? When you are in the minority in the House of Representatives, it's not the Senate. The majority can run roughshod over you and keep you from, you know, sponsoring bills, calling hearings, and calling witnesses. They easily can do that. Might as well do everything you can, as Andy is, to hang a light on Adam Schiff's shenanigans. The media may not want to cover it, but this forces them to cover it. It hangs a lantern on what Adam Schiff did. I cannot tell you how many well-informed people I know, and by well-informed, I don't mean people who are regular listeners to talk radio. I mean people who are generally informed. They watch, I don't know, the CBS, NBC, or ABC affiliates in the morning for, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes. They listen to a little bit, perhaps, of radio. Perhaps they tune in to NPR. They might read the Arizona Republic or get a feed from the New York Times. You know, something above the general population's knowledge of news. I can't tell you how many people I have spoken to in that category, you know, the somewhat above normally informed populace, that have no idea that Adam Schiff invented a transcript and promulgated it to the American people. That's why what Andy Biggs is doing is important. It shines a light and gets media attention on that. Back to what White House Counsel Cipollone wrote to the House Democrats. Put simply, you seek to overturn the results of the 2016 election and deprive the American people of the president they have freely chosen. Many Democrats now apparently view impeachment not only as a means to undo the Democratic results of the last election, but as a strategy to influence the next election, which is barely a year away. As one member of Congress explained, he is, quote, concerned that if we don't impeach the president, he will get reelected. Who said that? Representative Al Green, the first sponsor of the first impeachment resolution. That should tell it all, shouldn't it? That should say it all. But it doesn't. And the letter continues, your highly partisan and unconstitutional effort threatens grave and lasting damage to our democratic institutions, to our system of free elections, and to the American people. Now, remember, the Democrats are trying to impeach President Trump for what? Interfering with an election. I am waiting for the evidence of what that interference constitutes. Meanwhile, what are the Democrats doing? By their own admission, Al Green's own admission, they are trying to interfere with the 2020 election. For some reason, President Trump cannot look into the shenanigans of 2016, though the Democrats spent 2.5 years doing just that. For some reason, Donald Trump can't do it. I don't know how they justify that he can't, but they can. And they get to also use extraordinary means to influence the 2020 election. Quite a democracy, these large D Democrats believe in, isn't it? No, it's not a democracy. It is, as was implied by Andy Biggs and explicitly stated by me, a junta view of politics. Jack is in Phoenix. Hi, Jack.
What's happening, Seth?
Well, you know, just a little of this, a little of that.
Hey, what prompted my call was your comment about a normal election in 2020 and, you know, waiting for that. Obviously logical, makes sense. But there's one thing that scares the heck out of me, and I'd like you to comment on it. I've been Google adverse for 19 years now, and after the gentleman, I think he was a professor in California, testified that the implication of what they've been doing with their search engine optimization affected millions and millions of votes in 2016. What do you think?
Right. This is a guy out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, who testified to the House about how Google might have shifted as many as more than a million votes towards Hillary Clinton. Look, I have no doubt that social media is in the tank by and large for the Democrats. You know this. If you are on Twitter or on Facebook, if you do follow conservatives and you find out somehow all of a sudden they're not in your feed, or you see who it is that is being censored by the speech gods at Facebook and the speech gods at Twitter, of course they're in the tank for the Democrats. But, you know, there's how do I put this? It's to be hated. It's to be abhorred. It's to have hearings on. But, you know, even with all that true, we got Donald Trump. You know, even with all that true, with all the media that existed in 1984, you know, there was something about evangelization of politics and the good conditions President Reagan created. He could still win 49 states with not one single major mainstream media outlet in his corner. The fact that I keep coming back to, which is so interesting to me, Jack, is with all that going on, think how deep and strong the support for Donald Trump must be. I think this is what terrifies Democrats. How deep and strong is that support? His presidential approval ratings, a year out, at this point, a year away from the reelection effort, are the same as Barack Obama's, if not a little bit better. What does that tell you? It may to most people be a shrug of the shoulders. Now consider the entire culture, from entertainment and Hollywood to the news to the media to the universities and education systems, was pro-Obama and is today anti-Trump. Think about what that must mean with that huge tidal wave against you to have the same numbers as the guy they were all in favor of. So don't be cowed by social media. Use it as you can. Use it to your advantage where you can. But don't let it let you be down or complacent. Effort is all. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. 602-508-0960. I see some of the listeners are retweeting the letter from the White House, a full link to the entire letter so that people can read it on their own rather than get it filtered through social or other mainstream media. I think that's important to do. So thank you for doing that. Again, you can get the link to the full text at my Twitter feed, at Seth Leibson. The letter reads in part, "For his part, President Trump took the unprecedented step of providing the public transparency by declassifying and releasing the record of his call with President Zelensky of the Ukraine. The record clearly established that the call was completely appropriate and that there is no basis for your inquiry. The fact that there was nothing wrong with the call was also powerfully confirmed by Chairman Schiff's decision to create a false version of the call and read it to the American people at a congressional hearing without disclosing that he was simply making it all up." Go back for a moment, folks, and just think about great congressmen and senators of yore, great leaders of the House and Senate, great chairmen of the committees that we have esteem for, even in times of constitutional, perhaps, crisis, or certainly in the crucible of a political crisis, would any of them have deigned or dared to invent a transcript, to invent quotes of the president from the perch of the chairmanship of their committee at such a dire moment, or at any moment, even in no moment of crisis, even in no moment of a crucible political crisis? Think about what that means. Never mind all this other stuff Adam Schiff did about releasing partial transcripts. Never mind any of that. Just merely inventing a conversation and putting it out to the American people with no intention of ever explaining or stating that it was invented or created by his own hand until he was called on it. Reverse that shoe for a moment. Put it on the other foot. Imagine if Donald Trump released a fake transcript of his call with President Zelensky. You know what? If he did that, you know what I would do? I'd be the first to call for the president's impeachment. But of course, he didn't do that. Where's the conscience of the Democrats in thinking about what it means for Adam Schiff to have done that? Meantime, consider this as we go into the top of the hour news break. Just consider this. It's this notion of one whistleblower, two whistleblowers. I don't care if there's three whistleblowers or four whistleblowers, or if Dr. Seuss were to come back alive and write a book, one whistleblower, two whistleblower, three whistleblower, four. Think about this. These are anonymous people. According to the Democrats, we have no right to know who they are. Would you impeach a president based on the statements of some anonymous individual? Think about what that means for a moment.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.